Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I'm your host, Jeff, and I hope everyone is having a great start of the day. The weather's nice. It is a bit windy. It was kind of chilly when I was coming here at UBC, but I think overall the weather has gotten quite nice. It's not like overly hot, but it is warm enough for me to break a sweat, at least if I'm walking outside. I'm not quite sure if the second semester of summer school has started. From what I remember, you guys either have a couple days left until it starts, or it probably already has started. Either way, I really hope the best for everyone who is doing summer school. I hope it really goes well. Don't overwork yourself, although it is really hard to balance out, you know, school and all the other things that are going on in your lives. But I really hope that you guys all develop like a healthy relationship with your academics and whatever else you're doing outside of it. It is summer, so I hope everyone is doing something that gives them a good time, you know, gives a chance to relax and just enjoy the weather and summer. We do have about 2 months left of summer break, so let's enjoy it, you know? Speaking of things to do in the summer, I am doing well, for anyone who's asking. I'm actually planning on going back to Toronto again, but this time I am wanting to go with my older brother because he didn't go with me when I went about a month ago. So we're planning a trip, probably the same duration, maybe a week and a half, and going to meet my younger brother because why not? You know, going to Toronto was a blast last time. So I think that would be a great thing for me. Also, for those of you who have been following my show, or if you haven't, that's totally fine. I have done my interview with Dr. Liu. So whoever wants to listen to that, that will be on the CITR website. If you type in Lean In with Jeff or just Jeff, I'm pretty sure it'll come out. I apologize, though, because I have not been able to edit my videos due to some technical difficulties. So I'm sure that the episode itself will be out, but it won't be edited. So I apologize for that. I'll try to edit my videos or my podcasts as fast as I can whenever I can. So other than that, everything else has been quite well. Today I was debating on whether or not I should be discussing or whether or not I wanted to discuss movies or share a couple of my work, since I did that last week and I wasn't able to get through some work pieces that I've been wanting to share. So what I decided to do today is I will be sharing a couple more pieces of my work that I have been that I have completed in my years at university. And you know, some of them I'm actually pretty proud of, and I would love for my audience to hear how my work piece is. But before we get started, let's start off with the landing acknowledgement, of course, and then some ads and some PSAs, and we will get right back to it. Here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam,
Nisiyaya, Anthasyakhuya, Talitin, Homasque Mustail. In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flagship event, The Strong Sessions, for the fifth time.
All Strong sessions feature a variety of musicians with disabilities, paired with established local artists and bands. Each month until September this year, BAMS will be releasing the performances from our 2022 show on the Reimagine Radio YouTube channel, where you can also find past Strong Sessions content. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
Discover Noreen Braun's album, Songs for Trees, dedicated to the forest and the spirits within the trees. As we fight climate change, trees are the lungs of the planet and we need to help them. Her jazz and blues are blended with rock and synthesized pop elements to create a textured and ambient soundtrack to nature. Songs for Trees is a narrative, with each song guiding us through a journey through the forest. A trip, literally and metaphorically, about the interconnectedness of all things. The Vancouver Sun names it one of five albums you need to hear. Find out more at noreenbraun.com.
Then by getting education,
known for his roles on Tim and Eric Awesome Show, Great Job, and other Adult Swim series, David Liebhardt is an outsider musician, actor, puppeteer, UFOologist, and train buff. David's vast and eclectic catalog includes songs about aliens, food, trains, and failed relationships, yielding such cult hits as Salome, Father and Son, and Puberty. Live shows provide an intimate, raw, and wildly unpredictable experience with this fiercely unique artist, often hilarious, engaging, and confusing all at once. The David Liebhardt Show is one of a kind and always memorable. Supporting acts filled by Cheap Flavor and Kids Help Phone, Buck Nothing, Flail, and DJ 0.000001 closing out the night. This is a show you won't want to miss out on, so come on down to 648 Kingsway on August 13th. Tickets can be purchased at the door or online at artbyliebhardt.com. For more information, you can also go to artbyliebhardt.com or 648 Kingsway on Instagram.
Awakened one, listen without distraction. Ready or not,
you're going in. Listen to Breakfast with the Browns every Monday morning.
From 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Something that just offers you the place, the chance to stay in a mood.
Breakfast with the Browns.
The best in ambient, downtempo, electronic, ASMR, pop loungecore music. Totally Alpha Wave.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Thus the most ordinary movement in the world may agitate a thousand odd disconnected fragments. Now bright, now dim. Hanging and bobbing and dipping and flaunting.
So, beauty remains in the impossibilities of the body.
You know that, don't you? Wake up.
Okay, we are back. For those of you who have just joined in, my name is Jeff, your host to the show, Lean In With Jeff, and welcome to another episode. For those of you who want to chime in on my show live on the radio, you can always call the number 604-822-2487, and you will have the chance to be on air with me at this time. Okay, let's get started. So, as I mentioned, today I will be sharing a couple of my work pieces that I have completed in my second year at UBC. And I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do, like I said, call the number 604-822-2487 and you can talk with me on air, live. Very, very exciting, you know. Okay, Let's get to it. So this first piece that I would like to read out to all of you guys is a piece that I wrote in my creative writing children's literature class. It was meant to be like a small picture book. It was my first time writing a picture book, especially for younger kids, younger children. It's called Kent and the Ants, and I really like this piece, so let's get into it. Illustration: Kent is dark-haired, has blue eyes, and a round nose. He has a colored shirt with beige cargo pants. He has a NASA backpack. He comes home from school. Kent goes up to his room and changes into his pajamas. He takes out all his toys and puts them on his bed. Illustration: Kent organizes the toys by color and lays them all out in an orderly manner on the bed. Kent sits down on his chair with a smile, waiting. A ringing sound is heard by Kent from downstairs. Kent goes down to see who it is. Illustration: Kent sees his friend at the door. "Hey guys, my room is up just upstairs. Did you guys bring toys as well?" Illustration: Kent's friends come into Kent's room with a bag full of toys. Kent takes out all his friends' toys and places them on his bed. Kent goes to his desk to grab his favorite toy, but sees a problem. Illustration: with a frown, Kent points at his desk and shouts, "There's an ant on my desk!" Kent whacks the ant out of his desk, but realizes there is more than one. Illustration: Kent walks around his desk to see how many ants there are. Kent's friends leave Kent's room. 1, 2, 3, 4, there are just too many. Kent leaves his room and closes the door. He sits down and starts to think, how can he fix this? Illustration: Kent goes back into his room and quickly pulls out a piece of paper and some markers. Kent comes up with his first idea and writes on his piece of paper, "No ants allowed," and sticks it on his desk. Kent waits patiently outside his room for 5 minutes. Illustration: Kent slightly opens the door to see if there are any ants. He discovers the ants have actually increased. "No, the ants are still here." "All right, I need to think of another plan." Kent starts to get angry, decides to move on to plan B, which was to shout out the ants, "Get out of my room." Kent starts sweating from his face and his face turns red. He collapses on the ground and lets out a big sigh. Kent shouts, "We're no match for the ants." The ants did not go anywhere and continued to be in Kent's room. Illustration: Kent sits outside his room quietly and starts to think. "Ugh, I can't give up. I guess there's no choice but to fight all the ants one by one." Kent's final decision was to fight out all the ants with his sword that his dad made him on his birthday. He put it under his bed, so he went back into his room to get it. Illustration: Kent goes into his room slowly and lifts his bed sheets. "Huh? Is that a cupcake?" Kent finds a rotten cupcake under his bed with many ants surrounding it. Illustration: Kent smiles and tries to clean up the cupcake. Kent goes downstairs and brings soap, water, a sponge, some gloves, and paper towels to clean up the mess. It took a long time, but Kent eventually cleaned up the mess. Illustration: the ants disappeared after Kent cleaned up the cupcake. Kent takes off his gloves and lets out a smile of relief. Kent walks downstairs to take out the trash. Illustration: Kent returns to his room with a smile on his face. Kent started to look around to find any more ants that might have been in his room. Kent couldn't find any. Illustration: Kent leaves his room. Finally, no ants. Kent, full of joy, calls his friend again. His happiness is endless until he finds an ant waiting on his desk. All right, so this was the piece that I wrote in my creative writing children's literature class called Kent and the Ants. I just want to go over some things for why I really liked this piece. Number one, there is a bit of a comedic aspect to it. When I mentioned how Kent's first attempt to get rid of the ants was to put a sign up the door saying no ants allowed, or his second idea where he was shouting at the ants was kind of meant to be a more of a comedic element in the story. So I think that was a great thing that I added. And then the next one was the twist at the end, how Kent was super relieved about solving the problem that he had, but later finds out that the same problem is, you know, has come back or may have never been solved in the first place. And so it's this constant battle with Kent and his problem and his attempt to find new ways to solve it. And I think it was, I'm pretty proud of this piece because I think it kind of, involved all these things where the character encounters a problem, he finds out ways to solve it, then he encounters it again. And although this is ended as a cliffhanger, I think, you know, our imaginary minds can, write the ending of however they want. So I think that was good. I mean, speaking of cliffhangers, I don't know about you guys, but I personally do not like cliffhangers that much. Although sometimes I do feel like cliffhangers in movies are appropriate, and, you know, my imaginary mind does do the job in thinking of how it might have ended. But I do like to see the ending just because I want to stop thinking about what I saw, in terms of like, oh, how would have it ended, you know? Because I want to end the thing that I watched or read so that I could think back on the previous events and then kind of go from there. I don't want to start thinking about how it might have ended and distract myself from the real core of the thing that I watched, if that makes sense. So that was the first piece that I wanted to share. I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you did, that's great. You know, whoever's watching this who has kids or cousins or younger people in their lives, I think it would be a pretty funny thing to read back. So maybe you can use my my voice in the podcast just to use as a bedtime story or something. I think it was quite nice. Anyways, my next piece is actually from my creative writing poetry class. So we are going into a bit of poetry this time again. It's called Unbelonging Classroom. And I think I used this poem in one of my final assignments as well. I like this poem. Well, I personally love poems that have rhymes in it just because I feel like it flows better. It's a bit more catchy. And it's a lot of fun to read too. And sometimes I come up with pretty awesome rhymes. So I actually end up impressing myself. I also get very easily impressed reading rhymes. And as I mentioned, I'm very fascinated for how people write scripts and how well they can write them. You know, there are some lines where I'm just completely amazed of. Okay, let's get through it. It's called Unbelonging Classroom. The sound of scribble piercing through my ear. I am clueless of the meaning of what I hear. I listen to the binder's opening, turnings of pages to find the number they were hoping. As the teacher starts to speak, the omnipotence I assume that is there rises to its peak. I am concussed from the questions that hit me like a bus. Never do I speak the truth. If I do, I will hide behind a booth, trying to cover the whispers, the stares, the laughs, the squeaking of chairs. It's like I want to be evaporated into thin air. Whatever, have it your way. I guess I just have to delay. The way I'm here, the things I have can disappear. I'll come back or not, but if I do, I promise I will come to renew everyone's mind about what I want to pursue.
Okay, so I think the basic meaning of this poem that I wrote, it has been quite a while, but it's basically explaining how this person is in a classroom and they're kind of insecure with, you know, how they're not really consuming the information that the teacher's speaking of, and, you know, how it's experiencing, like, exterior responses that are quite negative, and how this person's kind of trying to overcome this. And at the end, it's explaining how if I'll come back or not, but if I do, I promise. I think this whole thing was just to explain that if they do end up coming back, in terms of like whether it's in the classroom or just overcoming the fear of it, they will come back stronger and they'll kind of know by then what's actually important instead of all the views that this person is experiencing that are negative. So as I mentioned, this does have a rhyme to it. I actually like reading this poem. I think it's quite fun. So yeah, if you guys like that poem, that would be good. If you didn't, you can always call 604-822-2487 and comment on anything that I've just said so far. Alrighty, so the next piece that I would like to read is, again, from my children's literature creative writing class. It was a nonfiction assignment, and personally, I do not like to write nonfiction. I like to be very creative with my ideas. Not that nonfiction is not creative, it's just that I like to make up my own stories from scratch instead of kind of using information, I guess. But you know what? I actually had a lot of fun writing this as well. I wrote about bees, and it was meant for, I believe, it was around like 10 or like early teens age, I think, like 8 to like 11 or something. I don't know. So that was the audience that was meant for this. So it's called The Extinction of Bees. All right, let's go. Saying Bye to the Bees. By the way, Saying Bye to the Bees is a header, or I forgot what it was called. It's like a subtopic, I guess. The full topic is The Extinction of Bees. Saying Bye to the Bees is like a sub, like a small topic. Who likes watermelons? What about peach, blueberry, mangoes? In fact, bees are the ones who are responsible for making these delicious fruits. I know bees can be scary because they have a sharp stinger attached to them. Some of you are maybe cheering, "Hooray, no more bees." As much as we all hate being stung by a bee during the summer, they are very important creatures to us. However, the bees in our world are in trouble right now and they need our help. According to Taylor and Francis Group, around 50% of the bee species in Austria are in great danger. In a nutshell, suggested a video that shows that the number of beehives around the world have decreased from 5 million to 2.5 million since 1988. Hives, the home and workplace for all bees, are slowly disappearing. There are three main reasons for why bees and their habitats are vanishing: climate change, diseases, and parasites. MDPI explains how climate change is a big problem to bees because the change in the weather and temperature affect the timing of plants blooming. Because of this problem, when the bees come out to collect pollen and nectar, usually during the summer or fall, they don't have any flowers to collect from. Pollen and nectar are sources of energy and nutrients for not only the bees, but for our environment. If we were bees in this situation, it would be like when you are hungry and you go to the store to buy something to eat, but you realize even though you have money, there is no food in the store for you to choose from. Parasites and diseases cause bees to be sick, and this sickness would usually spread through their colony. You can imagine this as getting a cold or having the flu, and how if we were infected with this sickness, it can disturb how we function during the day. Parasites are bullies to bees. Not only are parasites an issue for all viruses and bacteria, hurts bees as well. Acara piss, woody, is a parasite that affects the trachea, which is the breathing tube of a bee. An example of a virus would be deformed wing virus, which affects a wide range of bee species. A factoid. Do not worry about bees' survival yet. Why do you ask? Because bees have been on Earth for over 130 million years. This means bees lived with dinosaurs. And guess what? They were able to survive this insanely long period, and if they were able to survive this long, they might be stronger than you think. Who knows? Maybe bees are stronger than your favorite superhero. Why need bees? As I mentioned above, those yummy fruits are made from the help of bees. Bees are not only responsible for those fruits, but most of the food we eat is from the help of bees. So, before you take another bite of whatever you are eating, make sure to thank the bees. Just like how your favorite superhero has a special power, bees have this as well. They have the ability to pollinate, and they are the best at it. Pollination is the process of collecting the pollen and spreading it all over the flowers. This helps the plants and flowers grow. And to be able to pollinate the many trees and plants in our world, there are needs to be as many bees as possible. The more bees, the better. Do any of you guys know the movie called Bee Movie? In this movie, the bees are responsible for pollination The bees who are responsible for pollination is given this huge gun with multiple tubes attached to it. The yellow powdery substance is called pollen, and that is what the gun is sucking from the flower. After they collect pollen, they press a button that releases it, and that is what pollination is. Of course, real bees do not have those cool guns to pollinate, which is cooler, isn't it? Oh, and any of you who haven't seen that movie, go watch it. It is great. There are trillions of bees on Earth, over 20,000 bee species that live in our world. They are working constantly, collecting pollen and helping our environment function at the very best. For the bees to work together, they need to be able to communicate. And unlike us, they do not talk, but they perform a method called waggle dance to communicate with other bees. Here are the steps of the dance. Bees start walking in a straight line and shake their body while they do it. Then, they walk in the pattern of the pattern number eight over and over again. The meaning behind the shake is dependent on the speed, distance, and where the bee is facing. Let's save bees. Now that we know the importance of bees and what they do for us, why don't we try and find ways to help these amazing creatures? Gemma Bush, who studied environmental policy and decision-making in Ohio State University, published an article in 2020 that gives us ways we can help protect the bees in our world and live a happy life. Number one, ways to save the bees. Create a bee-friendly habitat in your yard or other outdoor places. This is not only a way to help the bees, but it can be fun to do with your friends and family. Plant some flowers or trees in your backyard, or if your school has a garden, help out. Number two, don't kill bees, just walk away. I know bees can be scary when they come up close, but they are in fact less harmful than you think. If you just ignore them and leave, they are most likely to just leave you alone. Okay, so that was the piece that I wrote about bees. It was a nonfiction. I had a lot of fun. You know, I got to research about bees, learn about how much help they are to our world. So I think that was quite nice. And I feel like, when I was younger too, whenever I read these books that are, factual about nature, about the environment, I feel like it was cool, because you get to learn a lot of things about our world that you probably don't think of, like that small little bee that you think is just a harmful creature. It's actually way more important than you think. In those cases, I think these nonfiction pieces are very, very useful, not only for younger kids, but actually for adults as well. You know, it's fun information. Okay, so my last piece that I want to share is from my screenwriting class, called Another Way. It is a silent romance slash fantasy. So let's see how far I can go along with this piece. It is quite long. Fade in. Hendrix High School PE class, gym day. Hendrix, 18 years old, puts on his gray gym shorts and nervously walks out of the locker room. He runs a couple laps to warm up and even greets some of his fellow classmates. One of Hendrix's bullies, Tommy, who's 19 years old, goes up to Hendrix and gives him an aggressive shove. Hendrix falls to the ground and receives a scratch on his right knee. Everyone watches Hendrix, even Hendrix's crush Layla, who's 18 years old. Hendrix's gray shorts stains from his tears. Hendrix bolts out of the classroom with total embarrassment. Cut to interior Hendrix room, day. Hendrix furiously stomps into his room with a frown on his face. He jumps onto his bed and lands like a blob of slime. He lies on his bed as still as a statue and does not get up for hours. Cut to interior Hendrix house, kitchen, night. With eyes swollen like a balloon, Hendrix slowly walks down the stairs to the kitchen. His face lights up as the scent of his mother, Vicky's, 43 years old, cooking, enters his nostrils. Him and his mother devours the meal with zero communication. Hendrix tears up while talking about his day to Vicky. Vicky powerfully stands up and grabs Hendrix's sweaty left hand. She leads Hendrix to the basement. Vicky stops at the door of the basement, enters in a 16-number combination. Hendrix's eyebrows squint confusingly as a glass bulb lights up in the center of the door, opening up the door. Cut to interior Hendrix's house, basement, night. Hendrix hesitantly tiptoes into the basement. He sees a golden CIA agent badge on top of the desk as well as a handgun next to it. As Hendrix gets closer to the desk, he sees old yellowish-brown colored newspapers stuck to the walls. His jaw drops as he reads what is written in those newspapers. Vicky pulls out a key from her left pocket and opens up a small safe that was apparently hidden in the walls. She sticks her hand in the safe and reveals a blue high-chew-looking gummy. She gives it to Hendrix along with an instructions label on how to use the gummy and goes back upstairs. Hendrix stands frozen in the basement for a couple minutes with the high chew gummy on his hand with mixed feelings about Vicky. Hendrix hears the shower running from Vicky's room. He grips the gummy firmly in his sweaty right hand and rushes back up the stairs to his room. Cut to interior Hendrix room, night. Hendrix bewilderedly scratches his head with his left index finger and eyes at the gummy. He decides to read the instruction label and suddenly an evil smile slowly rises on Hendrix's face. Cut to interior Hendrix High School PE class, gym day. Hendrix puts on his gray sweatpants and goes into a bathroom stall. He locks the door excitingly and opens up his bag. He pulls out the gummy from his bag and tosses it in his mouth. Hendrix confidently ambles his way out of the bathroom. Tommy spots Hendrix and goes in for another shove. Hendrix clenches up both his fists, closes his eye, and shrugs up both his shoulders. Tommy runs up to Hendrix and gives him a violent push with both hands. Hendrix does not move an inch. Both Tommy's hand bruises from impact. Tommy falls to the ground. His lips start to quiver as tears drop from his eyes. One of Tommy's friends, Gail, who's 19 years old, gently picks up from him up from by the armpit and walks him to the nurse's office. Hendrix puffs up his chest and smirks proudly as he looks around the class. The teacher, Miss Undy, 37 years old, puts both her hands and her waist as she glowers at Hendrix. The other students lean their heads slightly forward and have their eyes wide open as they frozenly look at Hendrix. Hendrix notices Layla and smiles at her. Layla nods her head side by side and walks to the washroom. Hendrix's chest slowly deflates and ashamedly leaves the classroom with his head down. Cut to interior Hendrix's room, night. Hendrix lies on his bed and gawks up at the ceiling. He fiddles with his bright red rubber stress ball back and forth from his left hand to the right repeatedly. Hendrix jumps out of the bed and goes to his bag. He snatches the gummy from his bag and mushes them until the gummy is no longer in its true form. Hendrix chucks the remaining gummy into the silver paper grading machine in his desk. Vicky comes up to Hendrix's room. She puts down her laundry basket and stands by Hendrix's door. She peeks through a small opening. She smiles with relief, picks up her laundry basket, and leaves. Cut to interior Hendrix school history class day. Hendrix sits quietly down on the front seat of the classroom. Sweat starts dripping from his forehead. He starts to sweat, making the notes on his desk stick to his hands. The door is opened by Tommy. He drags his legs to the seat in the back of the classroom while his head is down. Him and Hendrix make eye contact. Both of them look the opposite direction. Cut to interior Hendrix school cafeteria day. Hendrix picks up a disgusting potato kale salad, a hot dog that has a cold sausage, and skim milk, puts it all on a red-brownish stained tray. He looks around on where to sit and sees Tommy sitting alone. Hendrix sits across from Tommy and starts nibbling on the hot dog. Tommy looks up at Hendrix and continues to eat his cold cheese pizza. Hendrix puts down his revolting hot dog and pulls out a notebook and a pen. Hendrix writes a question and hands it over to Tommy. The lunch bell rang. The notebook had five and a half pages of worth of questions and answers. Both Hendrix and Tommy's right hand was covered in blackened from writing. Cut to interior Hendrix High School PE class gym day. Hendrix changes into his gym short. He goes out of the change room and sees orange cones lines up in the center of the gym and three navy blue plastic garbage bins filled with rainbow-colored stuffed balls. Tommy sees Hendrix standing still looking around. Tommy makes eye contact with Hendrix, and Tommy waves his hand to Hendrix and nods his head diagonally towards his team. Hendrix waves back. Hendrix's face glows with a smile and goes over to Tommy to join his team for the game. Cut to exterior sidewalk outside of school day. Hendrix waits for the sidewalk light to turn on. He feels a small soft hand grab his right hand. He turns around. It was Layla. Hendrix gazes over her pink dress with flower designs, her long blonde and black curly hair, white heels, her peachy-colored lips, and her bright green eyes. Hendrix and Layla hold each other's hands and happily skips to a nearby park. Fade out. Okay, so that was a long piece. It was basically about Hendrix having like this conflict in school. His mysterious mother, who gave him like a superpower gummy, he thought that, you know, hurting his bully would make him feel better. It didn't. And so he basically makes peace with his bully. And then he, you know, ends up walking home with his crush at the end. So I'd say that this piece was good, but there are a couple things to unpack. Just because there are a lot of information in this piece in terms of characters and, you know, some unknown details about some of them. But that is it for the work that I wanted to share for today. There is a song that I want to turn on. It is called Day and Day And it's a Korean song, and it's from a K-drama that I recently watched called $1 Lawyer. It's a very, very fun 12-episode, sweet and a short and sweet drama, basically about a lawyer. You know, I don't want to get into too much detail, but it's really great. It's comedic, it's heartwarming, you know, it's great. So I recommend anyone who likes to you know, watch K-dramas, or anyone who just wants to get some giggles and some tears out of them, this is a very good drama to watch. So let's get into the song. After we come back, we'll get through maybe a couple fun facts and end the episode there. So this is the song called Day by Day from the K-drama $1 Lawyer. All right, we are back. That was Day by Day, Day and Day, from the K-drama $1 Lawyer. I hope you guys enjoyed that song. It was the first Korean song that I've ever put up. And I really enjoy this song, you know. Okay, let's get into the fun facts for today. The first fun fact I have is the characters on a Monopoly board are called Jake the Jailboard, Officer Mallory, and Cavity Sam. Huh. Okay, I don't even know how to play Monopoly, so, but people who do, that is apparently what the characters' names are. Number two, Humboldt penguins launch their poo at nearly 8 kilometers per hour. Wow, that is fast. For launching poo, that's amazingly fast. Okay, next one. Recycling one glass bottle instead of manufacturing one can generate enough electric to power a computer for 20 minutes. Wow, that is a lot. Recycling one glass bottle instead of... In Sweden, there's a hotel made entirely out of ice. It melts in the spring, so a whole new hotel has to be built every year. Wow, I would want to go to that hotel. It seems interesting. I mean, I believe... Would that be considered an igloo? I'm not quite sure. I guess igloos are only like ice / snow. I kind of want to see an igloo, but though it seems pretty nice. Maybe build one, but, you know, it's very difficult, so probably not. Okay, the next one. Our galaxy is currently consuming the Canis Major Dwarf Galaxy, the closest galaxy to ours. To be honest, space scares the crap out of me. It's so scary, you know? It's just so endlessly big, and there's just so many, just the thought of there might, you know, be a clone of me out there somewhere, it's just kind of scary, but also very cool at the same time. But either way, kind of weird. Okay, about 24,000 people are killed by lightning strikes each year, and about 240,000 more are injured. Okay, yeah, that's pretty dark, but wow, I've actually seen a lightning, but it's only been through, I think I've only seen it through, like, the clouds. I don't think I've actually seen it, like, plain, like, lightning bolt. Okay, next one. A lightning bolt is 54,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hotter than the surface of the sun. Wow. That just tells me how incredible Thor is, you know? I mean, he is a god, so that makes sense. Okay. If a tree is struck by lightning, a lot of lightning ones. If a tree is struck by lightning, it can explode because when struck, the liquids inside of the tree instantly turn to gas and expand. Oh, that's why trees explode when it's hit by lightning. Because, you know, you've seen videos of, like, trees getting struck by lightning, and it kind of, like, has this exploding effect. And that's why. Interesting. If lightning hits sand or rocks, it can be petrified and will create lightning fossils. Wow, that's interesting. I would actually want one. That seems kind of nice. That seems kind of cool. The odds of being struck by lightning are 1 in 12,000. Not as much. I mean, I think winning the lottery is way more harder, or you have a lesser chance of doing that than getting struck by lightning. But anyway, enough with these lightning fun facts. That is it for the episode I have today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope everyone, again, is enjoying the weather. It is quite nice today. And, you know, it's really nice to just go outside, maybe take a quick walk, or, you know, just do anything that involves the nature. But yes, that is it for the episode today. I do hope on doing a bit more interviews next time. So stay tuned if you guys enjoy the interview that I did. And I will see you all next week. Have a wonderful day, and bye-bye, everyone.